Acts chapter 4, that will be our text for today. And right before we look into the scriptures this morning, I want to pray. I got a text message just moments ago from Kathy Edwards, and she is in the ER with, she calls her husband Paul the old man all the time. She says, I'm in the ER with the old man. If you remember, he's been having some issues related to his heart and some things, and so they're in the ER right now as we speak. So I'll pray for that, and then also I'm going to pray that the Lord would use the Word of God in us here today. So join me as I pray. God, it is a privilege to gather together as a faith family this morning. I thank you for family and friends that are here today, because we all experience different types of weeks every week. For some today that are here today, perhaps this last week has been pretty rough. They've experienced some things perhaps at work, some things as a parent, some things as a spouse, some things, Lord, in their neighborhoods, or just living life and living in response to the culture and our political climate, varied political climate, the stressors overseas. We think of people in Ukraine, just a lot of different things. And we internalize things differently. Everybody's different. So maybe this has been a really rough week for us. Perhaps some people have dealt with some things of their past, some hurts, some stressors, psychological things, maybe things that people can't forget or can't forgive themselves of, can't let go of. Maybe some people here with some financial stressors of life, emotional, other spiritual things going on. And so, Lord, I pray. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fall fresh upon us this morning. I pray for these needs. I pray that you would do as only you can do. I pray specifically right now for the burden that Paul is facing in his life, some complications as he's there in the ER with his heart. He's dealt with this on and off over the years. Pray, God, that it would be nothing major in his life. Lord, if it would be your will that you would allow him, that this would just be something that could pass. And if not, Lord, give him strength to be able to face the road ahead, whatever you've called him to do. And so just be with them. And Lord, I pray for the word of God that we read together corporately just moments ago. I pray that it would work in our hearts and our minds, Lord, that you would encourage us about this idea of boldness. Today's theme, today's topic, this idea of boldness that we will be talking about from the text. And so, use it in our life, I ask. May we be bold as believers. May we open our mouths to what's true. And so encourage us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been a couple weeks. Thank you. Many of you have asked about me and Bryce's trip last weekend. We had a great time. We had a great time together. The football game was not great whatsoever. We were at Notre Dame Stadium watching Clemson. And Clemson, oh my goodness. It's not that funny. I mean, you don't have to heap it on, you know. It was a rough game, though, for us, and so the football game was horrible, but it was fun. It was a great time, a good memory together, but I did miss you, and I've heard good things. I'm thankful for Hunter bringing the word to you from the book of Job. It was something that we talked about beforehand, and I was really appreciative of him talking about that, specifically that word might and how it relates there. So I'm glad you were fed last weekend. I've heard great things about that. And so now we're back, though, to our text in Acts. If you haven't been here in a while, we'll go verse by verse, phrase by phrase through the scriptures, and we're in the Gospel of Acts, and we're at chapter 4 as we read together. And so since it's been a couple weeks, I want to catch us up and remind us where we are in the Gospel of Acts, what's going on, because this story that we've read about this lame man being healed is really, in chapter 3, is spread out over chapter 3 and 4, and there's a larger picture here, and so I want to make sure that we see how it all, the cohesion of how the text fits together. So if you remember what's going on here, believers are in Jerusalem. This is right after Jesus' death, burial, his resurrection, and then 40 days later, his ascension to heaven. And the believers are all witnessing and seeing all of this happening firsthand. They're experiencing God moving and God working, Jesus working firsthand. A lot of amazing things, miraculous things are happening. And Peter and John, others too that were with them, they were one day headed, walking in Jerusalem, headed into the temple. And so they pass through this gate. And as they pass through this gate, there's this lame man that's sitting there. And the lame man is begging because he's lame. He can't walk and he hasn't been able to walk since birth. And we know from our reading today that's been about 40 years. This 40-year-old man has to beg. He can't get anywhere. And so Peter was passing by him. And the man was begging as usual, and Peter stops, and he looks at the man, and he heals this man. Literally, he speaks and says, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." Now, the whole point of that physical healing was to point to the spiritual healing. That's the dominant idea there. Not everybody is lame physically. But spiritually speaking, everybody is spiritually, every human being is spiritually lame. And so Peter is preaching the gospel and he's saying, hey, look, all right, that physical healness, I want to show you that there's a better healing. That physical healing, there's a better spiritual healing. And that's really the lion's share of what we've looked at. Now, two weeks ago, we looked at the exclusivity of the gospel. The exclusivity of the gospel. Now, the scripture teaches, really quickly, right, that every human being has rebelled against or has offended God. I have, you have, everybody has. So if we have rebelled against God, then there has to be consequences for that. Kind of makes sense, right? If you get caught, that is, if you're speeding down the road and the cop pulls you over, you've broken the law, you're therefore a lawbreaker, there's a penalty. Every one of us has broken God's law, and so therefore we all are lawbreakers. We've all broken God's law. There's a consequence for that. And I say it this way, I say we've earned the spiritual death penalty. In other words, we have turned our backs on God, we have said no to him, and we're going to go our own direction. And the only, how then do we get right? How do we get an audience with God again? How do we get right with God? How do we have fellowship and a relationship with him again? And that's where the gospel of Jesus Christ comes in. Jesus made a way for humanity to be made right, for every human being to be made right with God. Jesus loved God and obeyed God like I haven't, like you haven't. And by faith, if I trust in what Jesus did, if I believe in Jesus alone, not Jesus plus something else, then I can be made right with God. And so that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this truth was being verbally communicated by these believers day after day. And many people were coming to faith in Christ. People were starting to understand, I've broken the law. How do I get right with God? I've broken God's law. How do I get right with him? It only can be through, because I can't do it myself. If I could earn it, well, then how much is enough? Well, I don't know. There's no hope in that. And I know I don't deserve it because I've turned my back on God many times. But it's through faith in Jesus. And so Peter, specifically Peter, because we read a lot about him, as many others, they're sharing this faith and many people are coming to faith in Christ. But the issue is not everybody liked to hear it. Not everybody welcomed it with open arms. Peter was preaching an exclusive gospel. This is the only way. This is the exclusive gospel that we believe, right? And at the beginning of chapter 4, 2 weeks ago, we looked at a group of people that were angry, they were annoyed, and they were offended. They were angry, annoyed, and offended because Peter was saying, this is the verse that you saw up on the screen today. There is only one name by which people can be saved. It's not one name or... The mantra in today's culture is there are many roads to God. Well, there are many roads to God. That's true. But there's only one road that ends, all right, in eternal life. It ends in being rescued from that sin, from that rebellion. And not everybody likes that exclusive gospel. All right? The exclusivity there is not welcome but everyone has an exclusive belief. Everybody does. So the real issue isn't about the exclusivity of the gospel. The real issue is what? Which one is right? Everybody believes something. I've told you this before. I have one of my family members is an atheist. Love him, my brother, love him to death. We text often. We will see each other at Thanksgiving. I'll hug him. He's awesome. I love my brother. His exclusive belief is that there is no such thing as God. Do I think he's wrong? Absolutely, I think he's wrong. Does he think I'm wrong? Absolutely, he thinks I'm wrong. He has an exclusive belief. Everybody does. And it might not be that, and it might not be the gospel. It might be something in between. But everybody. So the question is not which, not. The issue is not exclusivity of the gospel, it's which one is right. And I quickly made the argument to you 2 weeks ago that the only truth that makes any sense is the gospel of Jesus. That's the only truth that makes any sense. And because of this, and because it's the only truth that makes any sense, these believers were, in chapter 4 and verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, that they were very astonished. And that's what I want to talk about today. That's what we're going to address right here is this idea of, in verse 13, and actually at the end of, it's bookended, verse 13 and verse 31, starts with and ends with this idea of boldness. And so I want to look at this idea of boldness. In the face of angry, the annoyed, and the offended, these believers were bold. Church, listen, this is the same culture that we have today. We have a culture that's angry, offended, and annoyed at the gospel of Jesus. Now, some of that we've done to ourselves, and I'll talk about that here in just a minute, as I mentioned. I told you I would do that. But this is the culture that we live in today. It looks exactly like what we read here. And so I want to talk about this practice of boldness. So three things from our text today, okay? Three things, and I think I'm going to give you all three at once. There they are. Sorry that two of them are grayed out, but... First of all, what is boldness? Number two, what does that look like? What look like in action? I know that's bad grammar, but it's on one line if I did it like that, okay? So you English people, you can beat me up later, all right? What does it look like in action? And then thirdly, how do we practice it? How do we be bold, all right? And that, number three, is where those who's your one cards are going to come in handy at the end of the sermon. You're going to be part of the sermon today, okay? So first of all, let's look at what is boldness. Now, as we, you know, if we read the account by itself, right? If we look at this account here by itself that we just read, and we were to import modern-day understanding of boldness into that text, all right, then we probably would come up with not the healthiest idea of what boldness means, or really what this text is talking about here, okay? So I want to, you might say, well, why do we need to talk about or define boldness? I know what boldness is. Maybe. I hope you do. But if you don't, let me show you from the text what boldness is. Because we think boldness oftentimes is described in our culture or seen as an aggressiveness, right? It's just being like in your face kind of ness. Or boldness is seen oftentimes as shouting over somebody. Boldness is often portrayed as an irresponsible or reckless or impulsive or careless behavior. Like, I'm bold and I'm gonna do that. Like, it was, remember the video game Frogger? And that little frog goes from, and so when you're bold, what do? You just click, 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 click without watching where you're going, and, oh, I made it, that was such a bold move. No, it was a stupid move because you fell into the river, right? Boldness is not this impatient recklessness of life. It's not what the text is talking about here with boldness. So we can't think of boldness and say, oh, Peter, he just got up in everybody's face and he was like this, and he was like, it's not boldness that the text is talking about. The boldness that they have here is a boldness, as I mentioned, look at verse 31. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. They walked in the Spirit. They were kind in their boldness. They were humble in their boldness, these sorts of things. And I'll incorporate some of these words a few places in this text or in our outline, okay? That's the kind of boldness that our culture, that we often think is boldness, and we could put that into the text, but that's not the way to understand this. The best way to understand this text is to see that same word boldness used somewhere else in the scripture. And so for that, I want you to go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. If you're using one of the seat Bibles, the blue or black covered Bibles in front of you, that's on page 1002. On page 1002. And you can follow Hebrews, somewhere around 1002. All right, Hebrews chapter 4. Let me read for you three verses, and then you'll see the word there, and then we'll talk about what boldness is. Okay? Hebrews 4, verse 14. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. We read there, "Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. His name is Jesus. He's the Son of God. Then let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted just like we have been tempted, yet he is without sin." Verse 16, the first part. "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace." Okay, that's where I'm going to stop. Okay, stop there, look up here. Do you see in verse 16 the word confidence? That word confidence is the same word as the word boldness that we just read in Acts chapter 4, both in verse 13 and verse 31. Same exact word. Okay? So, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China, right? The word confidence here is what Jesus, or what God means by, and what is intended to mean as how these believers were bold in Acts chapter 4, okay? Acts chapter 4. So in Hebrews chapter 4, here's what's going on. You have Jesus. Jesus, who is our high priest. In other words, what's a priest do, right? He intercedes. He's the intercessor. Back in the Old Testament scriptural days, there was a priest who would intercede on behalf of the people, right? But Jesus came. He was the Bible uses many different pictures and things that help us to understand this. Jesus was the lamb who was slain. He was sacrificed. And if we believe in Jesus' work on the cross, right, that Jesus was not only the lamb, at the same time he was the priest, he now intercedes. He's the go-between between us and God. We no longer have to go to a priest. We can go directly to God because of the person and the work of Jesus. And so Hebrews is making this point. The whole point is that there is rest for believers. We don't have to strive or earn or work to be approved or to have an audience with God. We rest from our works because of what Jesus has done. Now, Jesus, at the same time, he was 100% human, he understands all of our human weaknesses. But in the face of all of that, he never sinned. Therefore, his work, or his atonement on the cross, was complete. It was satisfactory. It was, I think the best word is, sufficient. We don't have to earn. We can rest. Okay? Everybody understand that? That's the text, or the context of what's happening in Hebrews 4. Therefore, because the believers knew what Jesus did, because these believers in Acts 4 understood this truth, they, and the believers get this, They knew that they could confidently go to God. They could confidently go to, again, there's another picture, this throne room, this throne of grace. They could go to God, and they could lay their petitions. God, I need help. I need this. I'm struggling here. Will you help me? We sung about this morning all these evils that we face in life. I prayed about that for you just before we started the message. They could confidently go to God. See that? That's what Hebrews 4 is talking about. That word and confidence in verse 16 is the same word as the word boldness. Okay, now, I think you can start to see how they relate. What is boldness? That's the question we're asking ourselves. What is boldness? Boldness, then, is, and I'm going to say this a few different ways. Maybe one of these ways will stick with you more than another one. But boldness is a humble matter of factness. It's not smugness. So in other words, these believers in Hebrews 4, they're like, man, God did all this for me? Jesus did all this for me? Well, I can go to God. I can go to Him. They boldly went to God in prayer. They boldly interceded. They boldly talked with God. They confidently. It was a matter of fact. It wasn't smug. It was just like, I can do this. You are at your, silly illustration, you're at your home. I'm at my home. Deanna makes dinner. What's the matter of fact conclusion that I come to? I can eat it. Right? This is what their boldness was. It was a matter of fact conclusion. Man, Jesus did all this. I could go to God. So it's this matter, it's a humble matter of factness. It's a confidence, not arrogance. It's a humble assumption. It's not an impulsiveness. Because they were resting in the truth, they were like, as it says there, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. That's what boldness is. It's not this aggressiveness in the sense of shouting over someone. It's portrayed as this irresponsible or reckless, like in-your-faceness. That's not what boldness is here. Boldness is seeing what God has done and responding to it as in you should respond to it. One way I put it is this. It only makes sense-ness. It only makes sense that you respond this way. It only makes sense that when your mom made sugar cookies or chocolate chip cookies or whatever kind of cookies you like, it only made sense that you devoured them all right then. Why? Because they were there. That's what they were made for. It wasn't bold of you to go up to the cookie plate and grab three and be like, ha, 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 I'm eating three. That's not boldness. It's not what it's talking about here in the text. Boldness for these believers was, you know what? This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I can do because of what Jesus has done. Now, what does that mean for us today? What does that have to do with us and the application for us today? Church, you, me, us, we should have this kind of boldness. It's not a shout over you, in your face brashness. It's us resting in the person and the work of Christ, and we know what the gospel is and what it really means, and so we should rest in that truth. And this should be our attitude. Our attitude should be, why shouldn't we share it? Why shouldn't we? That's not arrogance. One person put it like this one time. I think I've used this illustration before. What if Terry here had the cure for cancer? And so she got up on the top. She went to over to Bridge Park, and she went to Cap City Diner. And she stood up right in the middle of the table, and everybody's eating, and they're talking, and she shouted out, I have the cure for cancer. Everybody would look at her, in our culture, they would look at her like, okay, she's off her meds, probably. But let's say that it was really true, like she really did have the cure. For her to shout that out, it only makes sense. Why? Because she wants people to get cured from cancer. We wouldn't look at her if we knew it was true and real. We wouldn't look at her as arrogant or smug, or we would think, okay, tell me about that. Give it to me. Tell me how I can have this. It only makes sense that she would. It only makes sense that she would share the cure for cancer. It only makes sense that. You see what I mean? And we wouldn't accuse her of being rude or obnoxious about it. She has every right. We would want to hear that truth. And that's the way it is with us as believers. We know the truth. The truth is every human being is not right with God. And there's only one way to be made right with God, and that is through the person and the work of Jesus. Yes, that's an exclusive belief. But it's the truth. So it's a matter of factness. Just share it. That's what boldness is. In a sense, boldness is just obedience. Boldness is just it only makes senseness. And by the way, that also means that boldness is not dependent upon a personality. I mean, we're all different in this room, right? I've never met a stranger in my life. Like, I can have a conversation with somebody. We're at the football game. Three rows in front of us. I'm with my brother and my nephew and my son. And three or four rows in front of us, this person walked in with this box of pizza. Small box of pizza. I'm like done all the research. I know it's in there. I just don't know where it is. So I go down to the people and I tap him on the shoulder and said, "Hey, where'd you get that pizza?" My brother is back there and I came back. He goes, "What? Do you know somebody? Do you know them?" I was like, "No, I don't know them. I just needed to know an answer." He's like, "Oh, he would have never done that." And that's okay. I'm just different. I've never met a stranger. So this might be easier for me, you might say. But I'm Eeyore. Oh, it's me. I don't like to talk to people. I'm not saying that's bad or wrong. It's just different. This boldness is not dependent upon a personality. Everybody, no matter your personality, can have this boldness, meaning you do it in your own way, but it's a matter of fact obedience where you know it, you know the truth. And you just, it only makes sense that you would share it. And your way, and your personality, but nobody gets a free pass. We all are to be bold. And again, it's not in your face. It's not, "Oh, I've never met a stranger kind of person like me." It's never it's not a brashness. It's not a walk out into traffic with a sign and hold up traffic for three, you know, till it backs up for 30 miles. That's not boldness. Boldness is this, okay? I've said it like a bunch of different ways because maybe one of those ways will stick with you. But that's what boldness is. Secondly, what does boldness look like in action? Okay? What does it look like in action? Okay, a few things here. First of all, it's a comprehensive boldness. Go back with me to chapter 2 and verse 5. Okay? We're back in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 5. It's a comprehensive boldness. What does it look like? It's comprehensive. In other words, Acts 2 verse 5 says, "Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, and there were devout men from" where? What does it say? "Every nation under heaven. On this day of Pentecost," now we talked about what Pentecost was. It was a big Jewish celebration. We don't celebrate that, but Jewish people still do today. But this was a big day. So people from all over the world, as they knew it, would come to celebrate this. And while they were there, Peter preached this gospel message, a gospel message that we looked at. And he did so to who? Everybody. Then in chapter 3 and verse 2, he also shared the gospel with this lame man. Every person, every nation, every tongue, no matter what condition that they were in. And then if you would skip ahead to chapter 8 and verse 5, Philip, who's one of these guys back here in Acts chapter 1 and 2, he comes to faith in Christ, right? He went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them Christ. So the significance of Samaria is this. The Jewish people, hated the Samaritans. They were racists when it came to being to those from Samaria. And Philip understood that the gospel was for everybody. He understood that the gospel, that Jesus broke every barrier. And so he takes the gospel to Samaria. So what happens here? Every person in every nation, no matter our emotional or cultural preference, needs the gospel. Everybody. So what's the application for us? Well, the application for us is Acts 1:8. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses" where? In Jerusalem. And then you see how it steps out all the way to the ends of the earth. And that's what's happening. It's a comprehensive boldness. It's a comprehensive, as a matter of fact, I just need to share the, it only makes sense to share the gospel with everybody. It's the only thing that makes sense. Because if it's true, then why would you not tell anybody or everybody? It's a comprehensive boldness. Second, it was a humble boldness. Okay, now this, I bridge toward this. I know this is kind of part of like defining it, but I intentionally want to stress this again. It's a humble, so it's a comprehensive boldness. And secondly, what does it look like in action? It looks like humility in action. Read with me chapter 4, look at verse 18. Verse 18. So they called them and charged them not to speak or to teach in the name at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak what we have seen and heard." And when they further had threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all the people were praising God for what had happened. Verse 22, "For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. When they were released, what did they do? They went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God." I want you to see how these believers conducted themselves when they practiced boldness. They weren't belligerent. Their tone wasn't inappropriate. They were humble. Now, if you remember, I told you I'd come back to this. The gospel itself is offensive to people. To say that the only way you could be made right with God is through Jesus, not everybody wants to hear that. That's the angry, the annoyed, and the offended. That is understandable. What is not understandable is if they're offended at the gospel because of you or because of me. That's not good. Red flag. Yell, whatever. You're a soccer player, red card. You cannot do that. These believers, what did they say? They said here, "You want to shut us up? We can't. I mean, this guy got healed in the name of Jesus. We're just telling what we saw. You do to us what you want to do to us." They weren't belligerent. They didn't have a bad tone about them. Sometimes people are offended at the gospel, not because of the gospel message, but because of the gospel messenger. So make sure that when you share the gospel, when you practice boldness, they're not offended at you. I got a text this week from, you guys remember, I knew I'd forget their name. They used to go here. They live up in Cleveland now. The Andersons, thank you. Art and Sharon. Sharon texted me this week. "Hey, I need some advice. I'm sharing this with somebody. What do I do?" I said, "Hey, this is great. Keep sharing. Keep sharing it. You're on the right track. Always remember that questions stir the conscience. Accusations harden it. Harden the heart. So ask questions. Keep the door open. Watch your tone." Right? And she responded, "Hey, great advice. You know, like, we have to remember that." They shouldn't be offended at the gospel message. They shouldn't be offended at the gospel messenger. The message is offensive enough. Okay? So they were humble in this. But I do want to say one more thing about boldness, or about humble boldness here. Okay? Humility at the same time doesn't necessarily mean that when we read about these disciples being imprisoned or that they're beaten, doesn't mean that they didn't speak up. As a matter of fact, you don't need to turn there. I'll read it to you, but it's going to be months before we get there. In chapter 22, so we're in chapter 4, in chapter 22 of Acts, let me read this to you. "Up to this word, they listened to him, and then they raised their voices." So they're listening to Paul, he's speaking, and then they raised their voices, and this is what they said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not even be allowed to live." And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust in the air, they were just having a conniption fit. "The tribune ordered him," that is Paul, "to be brought into the barracks, saying that he should be examined and flogged, beaten, whipped, to find out. But when they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion, 'Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen?' and I'm uncondemned? Well, when the centurion heard this, he went to the tribune and he said to him, what are we about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen. So the tribune came and said to Paul, tell me, are you a Roman citizen? And Paul responded, yes. And the tribune said, well, I bought my citizenship for a very large sum of money. And Paul said, no, I am a Roman citizen by birth. So those who were about to examine him, the word examine, think beat, about to beat him, withdrew from him immediately, and the tribune also was afraid, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had bound him. That's chapter 22. Then a little bit later on in chapter 23, Paul is now before the high priest, Ananias, and he has not a very kind thing to say to Ananias. He looks at him and he calls him a whitewashed wall. Okay? Just think, he insulted him. All right? Here's the point. Humble boldness doesn't mean that you're necessarily passive or disinterested or idle. There are times when we must speak up. There are times when we take a stand. We don't just accept the status quo. But even when it's in those times, we must be filled with the Spirit. Again, our tone and attitude shouldn't be the reason that people reject the gospel. So there's some tension there. It's a both and kind of thing. And you say, well, how do I know when to be humble? Like, how do I know what it looks like? You just walk by the Spirit, and the Spirit will let you know. Sometimes you have to do this, you know, like, can't do that. And sometimes, you know, it's more of a, what? We can't help but speak. You do to us what you think you should do to us. Well, which one? I don't know. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll find out. Right? Third, their boldness was a strengthened boldness. All right, now go back to chapter 4, right? We're back in Acts chapter 4. And notice what happened when they were told to be silent. I want to look at verses 23 through 26. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when their friends and when they had heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, said this, Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. What's going on here? Well, remember, Peter and John and some others were imprisoned. They were released, right? They went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders said. Hey, basically, shut your mouth. They said, we can't. We're just telling what we saw. They wanted to beat them, but everybody was praising God because the man who had been more than 40 years old was healed. And the chief priests and the elders were like, we can't argue with it. He's walking. He wasn't able to walk from birth. This is not just like some sort of gimmick. So they let them go. They go back with their friends, their friend group, their peer group, their faith family, if I could say it that way. And what did they do? Right? They went together. They had their faith family to strengthen their boldness. They had each other. They went back and reported. They gathered together. In other words, church, we need each other. We need each other to continue to be bold. We need each other's support. We need each other's prayers. We need each other's kindness. We need each other's cheerleaderness. I'm making up all sorts of words today. We need each other. We need to be cheerleaders for each other. We need to say. So like when we're in life group, right, and somebody shares, hey, look, this is in my office, workplace, or whatever. Now, guess what we get to do for that person the rest of the week? We get to intercede for them. We need that for each other. That is what boldness in action looks like. Look, it's strengthened because I know you're praying for me. I'm praying for you. You're praying for each other. That's what it should look like. That's how we should practice it. We need that. Their boldness was not only do we need each other, but it was strengthened in prayer. They lifted their voices together to God. They're praying together. What did that do? It unified them. It strengthened weakened faith. I really appreciate, so much so, the text messages or an email or just a conversation. Hey, I'm praying for you. I want to hug that person. Thank you. I need it. And we need that. It strengthens us. Not only was their boldness strengthened by each other and through prayer, but thirdly, their boldness was strengthened through the Word of God. Well, when they prayed, what did they do? They recounted the word of God. See, what Peter is doing here is he's recalling back and he's quoting a psalm about when the nations raged there. Peter preached. He preached the word of God. Stephen, later on, when he defended himself, we'll get there a little bit later on, chapter 7 and 8. When we get there, what did Stephen do? Stephen was, he appealed to the word of God. When they prayed, time and time again, these believers kept going back to the word of God. Why? Because that emboldened or strengthened their faith to share the word of God. It gave them boldness. It allowed their, this just only makes senseness to happen. So church, may we be strengthened by the word of God in our ministry as well. Let me share with you some truths to encourage or to give you hope this morning. Truths from the word like this. Isaiah 42 says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have called you, Anne-Marie, in righteousness. I have called you, Glenn, in righteousness. Joe, you've been called in righteousness. I have called you in righteousness. Jim, I have called you in righteousness. Bryce, I am the Lord. I have called you. I will take you by the hand, and I will keep you. Thank God for that. He will hold us fast. We sing that. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. In other words, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do what? To be bold, to share Jesus with everybody. Why? So you can open the eyes of the blind, to bring about prisoners from the dungeon, those who sit in the darkness. God has promised that he will be with us as we are on mission. Because everybody needs to hear the gospel. That's where we need to be bold. Everybody. God's heart is for everybody to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And that is a tall task. But we must be faithful to do that. And as he holds us in that work, John 12 tells us, and when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. In other words, you just be faithful and you share. You share Jesus. And if you lift up Jesus, guess what? I will do the work. I will draw people to myself. And sometimes, though, as we're doing that work, do we ever grow weary? Absolutely. If you say no, you're a liar. We all grow weary and doing well. It's difficult, but God reminds us this. My brothers, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And then when that has its full effect, you become perfect and complete. Not perfect in the sense of without sin, but mature. Is that, you become mature and complete. You don't lack anything. But if you do lack, what do? The verse says, ask of God and he'll give it to you. Truths like these should strengthen our confidence while we're on task. Last thing this morning, how do we practice boldness? How do we practice? I could give you like 3-4 things from the text, but we're going to do something a little bit different here today. I'm going to ask you to participate. Everybody should have, or if you want, 2 of these cards, okay? Now, I apologize at the bottom. It's blacked out, and if you can see through the marker, it says Easter Sunday. I had intended to do this and use this a while back, but it was 2 years ago, and we didn't meet. It was COVID, right? But I didn't throw them away. I kept them, and so I just blacked it out. So that's what you're like, what is that Easter thing about? That's what that's about. Okay, on the side that has the green 1, it says 1, and it's in green. Right below that, it says, my one is, and then there's a line. My one is, and then there's a line. You see the line? Shake your head, yes. Okay, good, you're with me. Here's the question I have for you. Who's your one? Who's your one? What do I mean by that? Over the next few weeks, we are going to pray as a church for somebody that their name you write down. What happens is, you know, there's a couple of times a year when people are more likely to come to it. It makes sense if people aren't believers that they don't come to a church. I mean, why would they want to come to a church if they're not believers, right? It makes sense. But there are a few times a year when people will go and assemble, go to a church, as we call it. And one of those times, Easter's the biggest one, but usually the second one is the Christmas season. So you can invite people to come during the Christmas season, and sometimes they will come. Over the Christmas season, as I've done the last 5 Christmas seasons that I've been here, there's 4 main messages that I deal with. Love, joy, peace, something like that. And it's always a gospel message. I do that intentionally. Why? Because that's when people, if they come that are not believers, that's when they'll come. Okay? I'm going to do that again this year. Love, joy, peace, whatever, hope. That's another big one. Everybody wants hope. And so I share this. Every human being wants these, and so they come. So I want you, I'm stalling here just a little bit because I'm trying to give you a minute to think. Who's your one? Who is the one person that you think you could invite? Let me put it this way, that you can be bold. Let me put it another way, that you can just do what you know you should do. Let me put it another way, that you should just, as a matter of fact, share. Let me put it another way, that you should just only make sense in this inviting them to hear the gospel. Who's the one? And I want you to write that name down on that line, on the same person on both cards. The same person. Not two different people, the same person. If you don't have a pen, I filled the seat in front of you with pens this morning. So I know that you can't use that as an excuse. So grab a pen if you don't have one, and I want you to think of a person. Now, here's the one catch. This person can't be in Tucson, Arizona, and can't come to hear the gospel message in December. Unless they're going to fly here, and they're going to meet with you, and they're going to come. Then you can write their name down. But somebody locally, or that somebody that can come here, that you can invite, you're one, to invite to come to hear the gospel message during the month of December. Who's the one? Do I need to stall any longer? First person that comes to your neighbor, co-worker, you would say, but I know, but they would never come. Oh, ye of little faith. God, Moses, had God part the waters and they walked through on dry ground. That's pretty cool. God can do things like that. Who's your one? Okay, everybody got their one? As you leave today, you're going to keep one of these. The one that you keep is a reminder for you to pray. It's intentionally business card sized, so that way you can put it in your wallet or your purse or whatever your purse or whatever it is you carry, and you can pray for it, this person. Pray for yourself that you say to them, hey, will you come with me? We're gonna be talking about joy this week, or we're going to be talking about peace, or we're going to talk about something. Everybody needs peace, right? Yeah, everybody wants peace. Well, then come and listen with me. It's no commitment. Nobody's going to make you do anything weird. We're not a cult. It's not like you get a drink. It's not how it is. We're just normal people like you. The second one, you're going to turn in the back on the black table as you leave. And then Wednesday night, when we get together, from now until the new year, because the new year is a holiday season that people still, and it's on a Sunday, from now until new year, every Wednesday night, we're going to pray for these together as a church. All right? Every Wednesday night that we meet for the Kyrie prayer service. Kyrie meaning Lord, have mercy. All right? That's why we call it Kyrie prayer. Lord, Kyrie eleison, that Latin phrase. Lord, have mercy on, have mine, my person, is, his name is Mark. It's already, I've already turned it in. Okay? I'm stalling. I shouldn't stall any longer. I should let you go get your pot roast. It's 12 o'clock. How do we practice it? This is what it practically looks like. This is a way for you to be bold. Again, boldness is not going to their cubicle at your office and screaming in their face and then hitting them with a 4-inch thick Bible. That's not boldness, that's stupidity. Boldness is just a matter of factly saying, you know you have the truth. Not being smug, but it's just you sharing the truth with people. Hey, can I tell you about something? It's not personality dependent either. That's not boldness. Okay? That's what we're going to do. Please, 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 please turn one in. Couples, if you want to have the same person, you can do the same person. Families, if you want to turn in one as a whole, as a family, that's fine. If you want to have, if you have five in your family, you want five different ones like my family, you can have five. It doesn't matter. Just please turn one in so we can pray for it, because we'll start this Wednesday praying for it. Okay? Let's be bold this Christmas season.